You're listening to Technology Matters, a show for the casual computer and gadget user that airs the second Saturday of every month. It's hosted by Gateway IT instructor Christine Lazaro and Gateway IT graduate Dave Snedeker.
And hi, everybody. It's Chris.
And Dave.
And welcome to our show. And so we thought, as everybody knows that's been listening to us for quite a while, about this time of year, Dave and I do our little Black Friday, get ready for Christmas show. So that's where we thought we'd start off, is with what's the latest for Black Friday?
Or should we even call it Black Friday anymore? Why
well,
wait?
That's just it. If you look at the trends with the retailers, it's now more like Black November.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, everybody's releasing their Black Friday deals earlier and earlier, and an awful lot of the retailers are even doing Black Mondays all throughout November. You know, before, four years ago, it was really hard to find out the Black Friday sales, and now they're all being leaked purposely to get everybody hyped up about them.
Yeah, and some of them aren't even a Black Friday. They just, like, discount the entire month of November. Where I work, we're doing a two-month sale. So it started, like, beginning of November and it goes till December. They're just doing a blanket one with little things here and there. But I see a lot of people doing that. They don't want to do a one day anymore. They want to do the entire thing.
Yeah. So that's why I said it's not even necessarily Black Friday. It's more Black November.
Yep.
You know. If you look at Walmart's doing it, Sam's Club, you know, all of the big retailers are doing that. Office Depot and Office Max. Yeah. So what kinds of deals will there be?
Everything is always going to be competitive and just shop around. I think the big thing is going to be for the game consoles. So the Xbox One, the PlayStation 4. The Nintendo Wii U is actually making some headway because games are starting to come out for it finally. So I know it's a little bit of an older platform, but there are some new games that make it worth looking at, like Smash Brothers. There's just a couple of new Legend of Zelda games coming out for it. Mario Kart 64, the newest Mario Kart is pretty fun. So that'll actually help them out for a while. And it's really cheap because it's been out for a while. So that's
sure.
A good point for it. The other ones, they have a couple games here and there, still not really anything to write a home about. But I think those are the ones to go for the sales for.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing with the Wii, I don't care. You know, if you don't have one and you've got a family, it still is probably one of the most family-oriented and family-fun game consoles.
All of them have been trying to capture that market after the Nintendo Wii first came out because it came the de facto. It's actually kind of backfired for Nintendo because all the quote-unquote hardcore gamers have pushed away, but they've been releasing games for the Wii U trying to pull them back. So that's been kind of interesting to watch. And they actually do have other controllers that are more traditional, so you don't have to use the giant tablet or the motion controls. You can just get a it's like an updated Waybird or a better controller that they released pretty recently.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm not one to talk because my Wii, I haven't, in fact, I should dust it off one of these days and do it. But it was a lot of fun, you know, bowling, you know, the old school kinds of things. And, graphics leave something to be desired. And if you're into that kind of thing, there's much, much better formats out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a picture on the internet that always makes you laugh about the Nintendo Wii. Guy had a ping pong table in his basement, and then there was a Wii U to, like, the left of that. You see the mother and the daughter playing, ping pong with each other on the Wii U, and just the table was being completely unused. Like, bowling, sure. Ping pong, if you have a table, go play for real.
Sure. It reminds me, there was a guy that my husband worked with that had a really, really awesome average on Wii Bowling, and so he thought he was a great bowler, and then he went for real and found out he really wasn't such a great bowler.
Yeah.
It's not real, right?
No. But I think the secret to success for this year is start shopping now. If it's something that's most people want, just get online now from Amazon, have it shipped to your home so you don't have to worry about it getting to your place on time along with everyone else. It's just going to become more and more of a madness as we get closer and closer to December. And that way you're not paying the rush shipping fees and things like that. And
yeah.
I don't think you're going to save much money for the most part. I'm sure there'll be deals here and there, but most of the time the big deals that they put on their front pages, they're designed to get everyone in the door. They'll have like a couple of TVs, but they're not going to have enough for everyone because they're just designed to get you into the store. So
that's the biggest point about Black Friday sales is those awesome deals that you see. Absolutely, just what you said. Limited supply, you know, kind of a first come, first serve, get you in the door. And then, of course, the other part of Black Friday is the whole experience in and of itself. You know, people make a family thing of it. And
it's not as good as it used to be. And it really, I think it's because of the way the internet shopping has changed retailers and how they do things, because most time these really good deals that these retail stores are doing, you've had this online for forever. It's nothing new, so
yeah,
it's just the way things are going.
Right, you know, and then the other side of it is pushing it so much earlier that it's kind of taking the whole holiday thing out of it.
I heard Christmas music at Kohl's last week.
Oh, way too early.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. You know, the Christmas decorations are already out at the stores, you know, and can't we just wait? And Christmas music already, you know, by the time Christmas comes, we're not going to want to hear any of it, you know.
After Thanksgiving, sure, but right at Halloween, no.
Yeah.
No.
Or even before Halloween, you know. I see Sears is opening at 6 p.m. Thanksgiving Day.
That's another thing, is there's been a movement to keep retailers shut down on Friday because people feel bad for the employees.
Mm-hmm.
And I support that.
Yeah.
I know Costco staying closed Thanksgiving Day, and some other places are behind that as well, but I don't think that's right.
No. Let people enjoy their family, you know, day with Thanksgiving. And, you know, sure, we've got singles out there that, you know, don't really have a family, but, you know, pushing it to that extent, you know, opening still on Thanksgiving Day. I haven't even had an opportunity to digest my turkey yet.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So, I have not, you know, seen anything. There's, you know, a couple of things. Lowe's is going to have a couple of nice things. They've got a first alert fire and waterproof, chest safe. It's normally $39.97. It's going to be $19.97. But see, again, this is that early, Black November kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a DeWalt miter saw, normally $299.99. But again, how many are there going to be? And like you said, you know, check Amazon prices because, you know, they're very, very competitive. And shoot, Amazon Prime, they'll ship free, you know, to your home and, you know, great delivery, you know, so. Unless you want to go and face the maddening crushes, right?
Yeah, and when you have Amazon Prime, you get like a Netflix-style service on their website too for videos and movies, so it's worth looking at.
Yeah.
And that's honestly a good Christmas gift. I don't know if they have if you can gift an Amazon Prime membership, but I'm pretty sure you can.
Yes, you can. Oh. Yes, you can.
There's a good Christmas present.
Oh, absolutely. And they have a new thing now. It's Amazon Mom, I think is what it's called. So if you have a new mother in the family, Amazon Mom goes with Amazon Prime, and there's really great deals on diapers.
Or by the pallet.
Like that. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, you know, babies do use them a lot, right?
It's not like they go bad.
No, they don't. Well, they don't go bad, but babies grow so fast. And
So
you want to be careful about not buying so many, 1 to 3 months, because before you know it, they're into 6 months, that way, if you gift a new mom an Amazon Prime membership, and then they can use the Amazon Mom for diaper prices and stuff. So, so that makes a great Christmas present.
Yeah.
So, any other Black Friday things that stand out to you?
I think GoPros, for people who are like active in the sports, those would be something to look out for, because the GoPro 4, Heroes just came out. I picked up a GoPro Black, it records 4K video, because everyone has that. But it only does it at 30 frames per second. I had someone tell me that's kind of subpar, but for a format that nothing can really support it right now, it's fine. It can go down to different resolutions and record much higher frames per second. It's cool to have that feature. It's almost half the size of the 3. It's a little expensive, like $500, but that's just going to make the other GoPros that much cheaper. So if you have someone who does a lot of outdoor stuff or likes to make videos or try editing, that might be a good present as well.
Yeah, and GoPros are kind of neat. Like you said, if you've got somebody that's really active and wants to, show their experiences from their viewpoint, because you can wear them on your hat, your head, your helmet, or whatnot, and they're just kind of a neat little thing for that, and they make some really cool action videos.
And you can do other stuff like time lapse, and I've seen some cool videos where people attach them to their car tire, their hubcap, so it spins, and then they edit certain ways, or even a ceiling fan, which actually turned out kind of cool. So there's all sorts of things you can do with them.
Oh, neat, you attach it to your ceiling fan.
Or put on a cat or a dog. Or
there cats. You go.
Yeah.
There you go. That would be kind of fun to put it on a dog, and experience a dog's life, a day in the life of a dog. That one would be fun,
If you have an active dog.
Yes, if you have an active dog, I'm thinking like a hunting dog, chasing through the woods, chasing bunny rabbits or something
like
that. Well,
let's get morbid quick. I would go with more wholesome and say like a dog park.
A dog park?
Yes, yeah. Let's go with that. That's much better.
Oh, yeah, okay. A dog park.
Yeah.
Meet the dog. So, let's see. What else is there? Dell's going to have some nice deals on, some of their laptops and computers. About $200 off, And I think that's going to be one of the biggest things. And, there's not a whole heck of a lot of new technology that's, coming. So, I think you're going to see some of the mid-range laptops and tablets.
Well, school. I'm way past that now, unfortunately. Do you see more students using the computers, or do you have them bring them the laptops or tablets, or what are you seeing more of these days?
Kind of a mix, if they need to do some, remember when we had the big discussion about content creation versus content consumption?
Yep.
It's still that same thing. They're still glomming onto the laptops if they're wanting to do that content creation, simply because the laptops are still more convenient with the keyboards and everything else.
Okay.
I do see them, with tablets, for surfing the internet, doing a little research, checking emails, but when they're actually doing their homework, they're glomming onto laptops.
Okay.
And, just the lighter ones, the smaller ones, and I think that's the biggest thing is because the laptops have gotten so much lighter that, you know, they're not the clunky old things that, you know, they were 5-6 years ago.
Really?
And so they're just as easy to carry almost as a tablet. So, you know, they still want keyboards. That's the big thing. They want keyboards and they want a little bit of a bigger screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The keyboard is a big thing because although I type out things on my phone, my iPad, if I want to type anything out longer than a paragraph, I switch over to the computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's just it. You know, it's that whole convenience factor. So Dell's going to have a 24-inch monitor for $99, you know, well, $100, which it's normally $230. They're in Speron small desktop, $400, where it's normally $600. So those are the kinds of computer sales that you're going to see for, you know, coming from Dell. And then, of course, those will, you know, then trickle on down to, you know, the retail stores, 32-inch LG HDTV for $180, the Venue 8 tablet for $150. So, you know, some of those are in the technology side kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you'll see those trickle down to the, you know, the Best Buys and whatnot, you know. So that's what we're seeing right now, you know, for some Black Friday deals.
Yeah, just start now. I don't see a reason to wait right now, to be honest. But
No. You know, do your shopping early. Avoid the crowd. Stay home. Watch football on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Watch your local sports team fail or win.
There you go.
Our charges are pretty bad.
Yeah, I've been seeing that.
I think it's like 30-0. I don't know.
So the other big thing that we thought we would talk about is how you pay for all of your Black Friday deals, because of course, you know, the big controversy now is with the digital wallet systems. You've got the three major players: Google Wallet, which has been around for a long, long time on the mm-hmm. Android phones, and now Apple Pay. And we talked about Apple Pay a couple of shows ago. And now, of course, there's the new entry into the system, Currency, which is like current and then C, so not currency with a Y. And the big controversy with that is, of course, those mainstream big box stores like Walmart and Best Buy are blocking the Apple Pay because they want to use their own system because they're the big major push for the currency.
Yep. Yeah, this is going to be interesting. I think it's going to come down to what's the most convenient and what's the most easy to use versus who's going to support it, because eventually if something becomes big enough that other retailers are going to have to adapt to it. I've used Google Wallet for a few things online, like some retailers and services that it's set up to pay via Google Wallet. I didn't go out of my way to use it. It wasn't terrible to use, but it really wasn't anything different other than just like a normal shopping cart with your credit card or PayPal or something like that.
Right.
Really don't see the point of that. The Apple method, I think it has a lot of security features and it's a little bit more convenient because I think it's meant more for when you're in there in person.
Right.
That's rolling out their latest version of iPhones. But the good thing about that is it's being beta tested by the early adopters, the people who have those phones, and then once everyone else gets those phones or they roll it more people have it. And I think because Apple's really pushing it, I think they're gonna emerge from the top again like they have with everything else lately.
Well, and that's the big major thing is if you're shopping online, there's multiple systems. There's PayPal, there's, you know, like you said, the Google Wallet, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're in-person shopping, the idea is, you know, kind of ease of use. You don't have to take your card out and swipe it. Mm-hmm. And of the phone-based systems, the Apple Pay really is the most simple to use. The technology that both the Google Wallet on the phone and the Apple Pay use is what's called NFC or near field communication. And so it doesn't have to touch anything. It's basically a kind of a wireless communication thing, but it's got to be very close, and that's why it's near field. It also uses a token-based transaction. So each transaction is gets its own little passcode, if you will. And so they're very secure from that aspect. They can't really be hacked because each transaction is an individual thing. It's almost like it gets its own little pin.
Mm-hmm.
The Apple Pay, one of the other big differences is it uses biometrics in that it uses a fingerprint or thumbprint, so on the phone itself. And so it's very secure. That was another thing that, you know, people said, well, what if I lose my phone? Well, with the Apple phone, the Apple Pay, if you lose your phone, there's nothing in the phone really, and nobody else can use your phone because they've got to have that biometric, and Google Wallet doesn't have that currently. Now, whether they start building it in, the currency is different in that it's going to use the Q code, you know, those funky little black things.
Oh, those are QWERTY, I think it is. Those things that no one else uses.
Yeah, you know, that you can scan and go and get an ad or something. The QCRs?
Yeah,
Yeah. So that's what currency is planning on using, which means that your phone has to scan this and,
that sounds so jinky and cheap.
Yeah. Well, and then the really, really ironic thing is, of course, the currency got hacked last week. So, yeah, how good is it, you know, if it got hacked already? Now, granted, it's still in beta and it hasn't been pushed out or anything. And the interesting thing is that those retailers that signed up for currency are blocking the NFC. So they're not even supporting the Apple Pay, but I think what you said before is if it really takes off, they're going to have to support it. Plus, when the new credit cards come out with the NFC chips next year, which all of the banks and retailers are, because the European Union pushed that and made it a law, they're going to have to turn their NFC chips back on. And then it becomes a moot issue because now you just take your credit card out and you just touch it as well, because it's going to have the chip in it. So,
I think the reason I like the Apple Pay is because of the security features it has, as opposed to every other payment system. Google is very secure, and there's ways of securing it further. But the combining biometrics with the security of your phone companies, I mean, you can remotely lock your phone, you can have a passcode on it, you can have all these things to block it so that if someone steals your phone, it's essentially useless to them. They can maybe wipe it, and that's actually been worked on too, where you can't do that anymore because of the issues with stolen phones.
Right.
There's even a law being considered to just brick the phone if it's stolen from you, but
yeah.
We'll talk about that again a different day. But, The thing Apple has been really good about is they take a technology, they make it simple and easy to use, and then they just mass deploy it to everyone. And because of it's easy to use, my mom can use it, things like that, it becomes the standard. and then everyone adopts to it, much like what happened with MP3 players, and then what happened with phones. It's just getting to that point where there's such a dominant presence now that if they want to push something like this, they can do that.
So I think the biggest thing with the Google Wallet, Apple phone, whatever it is phone dependent, but Apple is clearly the winner right now.
There's a healthy split between iPhones and Droids and other things where, and competition is always a good thing anyway. So
I
welcome that. And just as a disclaimer, I do like Apple, but I honestly don't own any stock in Apple, so I'm not trying to push anyone to go out there and get iOS stuff.
There you go. There you go. So, you were telling me a new game?
Well, there's a problem with games. So, let's say you go out and you buy a game for what used to be $50, and then it can be anywhere from anywhere from $5 to $100 these days. But some of these games are online only, or you're playing single player as you're playing by yourself, but you have to connect to an online service to play that, which is stupid. I think we talked about that with The Sims when SimCity when it came out. We covered that a bit. But what happens is there's companies who are paying for the service to run those games. So some of these older games and even some of the current ones, what happens is the company will collapse or they'll deem it cost too much or they'll just stop the service. So even though you've bought this game for $50, you can't play it anymore. There are some fan-made things for certain games that get around that, but it's not really legal. But the EFF is trying to fix that, so they're trying to fix a couple of lines in the copyright laws to basically saying that, hey, this game is abandoned so that people can now try to make their own servers to continue the game. So I think it's a good sign because it doesn't make any sense from the consumer point to spend this money and then you can't use the product anymore.
Well, sure. And obviously we're talking about games that don't have a really large fan base. You know, obviously something like Sims, Sims 4 and, you know,
some
Civilization.
Some of them have. Like a couple of the early Halo games still had enough people on it, but Microsoft said, hey, we're shutting the servers down. Now, that can be, I think it was a business decision because if people are playing, like, say, Halo 1 or 2 multiplayer, why would they want to go out and buy the latest Halo game that they're launching soon? So
that makes sense. Yeah.
Conspiracy hat on there, but.
Yeah. Gotta sell that. More money, right?
Kind of.
So. I think that's about it for the day, hey?
That is it for today.
Yeah, so December we're preempted by the opera, so we will see you all again in January.
See you next year.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.
Have a great day.
You've been listening to Technology Matters with hosts Christine Lazzaro and Dave Snedeker.